Okay, we are Meander Perek Dalet. Perek Dalet, Pasuk Lamed Ches. Ve'elisha Shav HaGilgal. Now after the story of Elisha and the Shunammis, the Tzias HaMeisim, that was in Shunam, Hashem told him to go there. So now he went back to Gilgal. Now, I'm trying to keep track over here of how many Nisim we're up to. The problem is that the Malvim started keeping track like in the middle somewhere. So it seems to be one off then from my count. So maybe you'll count along with me. How many Nisim did we have so far? We had why two? Counting that as two? Well, let's count it as one for now. I want to try to keep it the Malbim's count. And he said the Ishan, the Tzias HaMeisim was the seventh Nais, and we're going to do the eighth and the ninth now. So let's see, unless he counts that as two, but I don't see him himself doing that. Let's count the Yardin as one. Unless that's the answer to the question. What? The what? Right, the Dubim is the next one. Right? No. Sorry, one second. The Yarden is one. And then he went to Yericho and he was Merapa the water. Right? Then there was the Dubim. That's three. What? Nice, besides nice, but I don't know if it's counted as.
Okay.
I don't think so. I didn't notice anyone counted as two. Unless these are the answers to my question. Okay, but I just want to make sure I'm counting right. Then was the water in the Mulchama, right? First it rains, right? And then the Mulchama itself should be number five. And then the Tzias,
the oil.
Oh, that's the answer. Okay, so six. That's very good. All right. So the sixth was the oil, and the seventh was the Tzias HaMeisim. So right on. Thank you. I knew you'd help me. Okay. So the seventh was the Tzias HaMeisim. I was missing the oil one. Okay. So we have seven Nisim so far. When you get to the end of the count, you might have to double things over when you get to the end. But at the moment, we're still okay with seven, right? So the seven is the seven Nisim, and now we're going to be doing the eighth and the ninth. So Elisha Shav HaGilgal v'harav v'aretz. There was a famine in the land. This was a very long famine, a 7-year, terrible, terrible famine. We'll talk about it later. Uvnei ha-Nevi'im yashvu lefanav, and Elisha had a yeshiva for Nevi'im, and they were hungry too. V'yomer l'narei, so he told to the nar, shvayis hasir ha-gdayla, set up the big pot, uvashal nazir livnei ha-Nevi'im, and you should cook a tapsho by Yosef Yaakov Nazir, some type of food for the bnei ha-Nevi'im. So one of them went out to gather iris. Pashupshat, iris are yurakis, says the Radak. Lulakit yurakis. Vegetables, find something to cook. Chazal tell us, Rashi brings it down also. The first pshat in Rashi says, "Gargir shekayin orga shemeir etzainayim." It was a certain type of seed or some type of vegetable or something that, when you eat it, it's meir etzainayim. It brings light to the eyes.
Oh, like
carrots. Oh, maybe I wasn't thinking of carrots. Carrots give you good eyesight. What it means will be a light to the eyes. Chazal tell us that if you see a person on Yom Kippur, but they're so sick and you see the light has gone out of their eyes, so it's a major sakana.
Like Yonatan in the water.
Right, the same thing over there, right. So that's, I'm not sure it's carrots and eyesight exactly. It means over here, this is like something that's meir esenayim, it's really mechaya the person. So they went out to collect this. Vayimta gefen basada, so he found a gefen in the vine in the field. Vayilaket mimenu pakuay sada, and he collected these types of growths, pakuay sada, these berries or something that grow on this vine, malay vigdai, the amount that he collected filled up his beged, vayava, and he came, vayifalach asir anozir, and he set up, and he cut them into pieces, vayifalach means he cut them into pieces, and he put them into the Sir Hanazid, into the pot. Kilo Yado, says the pasuk, because they didn't realize that this berry that they found was deadly. It was poisonous berries. Or whatever it was, the pakuas. There's a... The Mitzuda says that it's a certain type of thing that you can make oil from it. You have in Bamem Alikin, I think one of the Shemana over there, Shemen Pakuas. Am I wrong?
I
remember?
You don't
do that?
I
think over there one of them, Shem and Pakuis, is one of them. So it's a certain type of thing that you crack it up, you can make oil, but I guess it's an edible thing too. However, as is, it sounds like it was very bitter and dangerous too. So, Vayitzku la'anashim lecho, so they poured it from the pot into the plates to eat. And it was when they started eating from it, and they started crying, and they said, there's death in the pot, and they were not able to eat. So what does this mean here? Mavis basir v'lo yachlu lechol. Well, they ate it already, right? V'lo yachlu lechol, they weren't able to eat it. They screamed, "There's mavis basir," and they weren't able to eat it. They ate it. So what's the double? First of all, what does it mean? And second of all, it seems to be a double lashon. If it's poisonous, obviously you're not able to eat it, right? So what's the pasuk saying? So the Malbim says, mavis basir means on the avar. What we ate already was poisonous. And they said, the lo yachlu lechol is on the asid, that no one else was able to eat it. In other words, people who hadn't eaten from it yet should not eat from it. So the lo yachlu lechol means the rest of the people who had not eaten yet were not able to eat. Those who had eaten, they said, mavis fatir, we ate this poison that's in the pot.
Maybe
just
a little bit of poison. More of it was killed.
And what?
And more of it was killed. Like, a little bit of it was
So therefore?
They ate it and like...
They themselves couldn't eat more. Could be. The Kliyaker wants to say v'lo yachlu lechol means that they couldn't eat anything, meaning that the way this mavis, this thing works is it does something to the throat. Burns the throat, makes some type of wound, and I don't know exactly what it does, but mavis basir, and because of what it did to them, they couldn't eat anything else. They couldn't get anything down their throat because of what the poison had done to their throat. That's how the Kliyaker learns it's going on the same people. So they cried out to the Nabi. Vayomer, so what did he say? Ukhu kemach, and take flour.
What's ukhu?
We'll get to that. Ukhu kemach, and take flour. Vayashlech al asir, and he threw it into the seer, into the pot. Vayomer, and he said, tzak lo'am, pour it out for them. V'yachelu, v'loyayadah v'rab asir, there was nothing in the pot. Now, vayashlech al asir, who threw it into the pot? So the Radak says, Pashup Shad is, that Elisha himself threw it into the pot. In other words, he said, Kul kamach, get some flour, bring me flour, give it to me, take it and give it to me. Vayash the chalasir, and then Elisha went and he threw it into the pot. Now, the Radak says, why into the pot? Didn't we say he had already poured out from the pot into plates, into bowls? Right? The pasuk says in pasuk mem, "Vayitzkul anashel nafel." They poured it out into plates for them to eat, and they ate it. So why is he throwing it into the pot? So says the Radak that first he was mitzaveh to pour everything back into the pot. And then ukichu kamach, that's the vav. And then give me some flour and I'll throw it into the pot. And now everything is cured, pour it back into the plates and you could eat. Instead of him having to go around dropping some flour into each and every plate, says the Radak, first he commanded, pour it back into the pot, ukichu, and now then give me some flour, and then he poured the flour, he put the flour into the pot, and everything was cured. The Kliyakar says no. Vayashlech al asir means a different person threw it into the seer. Kichu, take some flour and throw it into the seer. The Kliyakar says here we're making the nace even a greater nace. Not only was Elisha able to do a nace, his shliach was able to do a nace. He didn't do it by himself. He sent someone else to throw it into the seer. And that shliach was able to be, by him throwing it in, to cure it. Says the Kliyakar, what's the ukichu kamach? So the Kliyakar says, part of the nace being bigger was that he did not throw all of the food from the plates back into the pot. Every person took a little bit of flour and put it into his plate. And an additional person, ukichu kamach vayashlech al asir. We had to cure all the plates, and we had to then cure the original pot. So every person took a little bit of flour, and this is part of the nace, and not only one shliach, every person was able to do it. And then a person additionally took more flour, and from that flour threw it into the main pot. So the pasuk here only is really saying the end of the story. First everyone, or at the same time, everyone put it into their own plates, and also someone took some kamach and threw it into the
pot. Is this a question
pot?
That they put it all back?
No, they didn't put it all back. Everyone put it into their own plates, and there's still some left in the pot that was also cured by someone else. So that's how the Kliyakar learns it. V'loy ha'yadavar rav asir, there was nothing there, so the Pashim Shat, the Pasuk is telling you what happened. There was nothing, and there was no more poison in the pot. But the Kliyakar says this was all part of Elisha's words. Vayomer tzak la'am, pour out, v'yachelu, and they should eat. And Elisha continued and says, and there was nothing in the pot. So the Kliyakar says, Elisha, which is interesting, the same Kliyakar that just made the nace like so big that hundreds of people were Elisha shliach to do the nace and make it so big, but Elisha himself wanted to be mocked in the nace, and he said, like Bederach Hanivus, there was nothing there. I don't know what you're complaining about, what you're fetching about, what are you crying about? There's nothing there. It's all, just go eat it and you have no problems. As if the whole thing never occurred. So he learns, was Elisha talking, go eat it, there's nothing wrong with it. Migoidel his anibus, says the Kliyakar, he didn't want it to make as if he did this major thing. There was nothing there. I understand your problem. Go eat it, there's no problems. So this was nace number 8 that Elisha performed here. Pasuk Mem Beis. The Ish Ba Mibal Shalisha. This is nace number 9. A man came, and this is the, I think, the beginning of the Haftarah of Parshas Tazria starts from here, from this Ve'ishva, and continues into the next parak of the story of Naaman and his Sarah. Ve'ishva mi Baal Shalisha, and a man came from Baal Shalisha, Rashi says it was the name of a Medina. Vayav el Isha Likim Lachem Bikurim, and he brought to the Isha Likim Lachem Bikurim, Lachem that came from the Pashup Shat, the Metzuda says, is the first harvest. And it was barley, the Pasuk says. Esrim lechem, 20 loaves of bread to Irim, because barley is the first thing to get harvested. Right? In Takrim minchas bikurim, the Pasuk says in Parshas Vayikra. That's why you bring the Oimer comes from barley, because that's the first thing that's harvested. The Shtelechem Shavuos comes from wheat, because that's harvested between Pesach and Shavuos. So this was the first harvest. It was Lachem Bikurim. Bikurim means it was brand new. It was the first harvest of the year. It was barley. V'Karmel B'Tzikloinai, and he brought Karmel. The Metzudas explains it as Shibolim Rakim, soft Shibolim. Umalayim, this also we had in Parshas Vayikra. Kishem Adayim Beklipoiseyam, when the kernel is in the what do you call the thing around it? Is that called the shaft?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's full, still in its shell. These were things you made some type of you would roast it and you would make some type of food out of it. This was the fresh. It was freshly harvested at its best, the ripest. He brought the Karmel B'Tzikloinai. Why is it called Karmel? You remember? No? I remember why it's called Karmel. Rashi and Parshas Vayikra. What's a car?
I can look it up.
Pillow.
Karmel, a full pillow, because it's full in the chaz, Rashi says. That's why when it gets overripe, it starts shrinking again when it's not so moist. Karmel. Vayomer, and he said, Tein lam v'yachelo. So he brought this to Elisha as a present, 20 loaves, and Elisha said, give it to the give it to the Nevi'im over, give it to the people. People again, we're still in the middle of the hunger from before, so give it out to eat. Now, this really seems to be a machlaikis. The Pashup Shat here, it says there's 20 loaves, and the Malbim says there were 2,000 Talmidim. 20 loaves for 2,000 people. Right. There's some Midrashim or maybe a Gemara that says it was 22 loaves, because the Gemara says Esrim is 20 and Lechem is another one and Sairim is another one, so that's 22.
Either way.
And it ends up proportioned the same way, and it was 2,200 Talmidim. Either it was 20 for 2,000 or 22 for 2,200. The proportions ends up the same, but so, either 20 for 2,000 or 22 for 2,200. So the proportions are the same. So he said, give it to the here's 20 loaves, give it to the 2,000 people. So Vayomer Misharsai, so his servant said, Ma etein zeh lifnei mea ish? Am I going to put this out in front of 100 people? Which the Mepharshim say, what do you mean, there were 2,000 people. But what he was saying was Zeh. Zeh is a Lashon Yachid. Each loaf is going
to
be for 100 people. 20 loaves, right, for times 100 will equal 2,000. Or 22 times will be 2,200. So that's why it's Zeh. It's a Lashon Yachid. He wasn't saying the entire thing for 100 people. He was saying each one, Mo'etein Zeh, what am I? You say I should take 20 loaves and give it out to 2,000 people. This one, each loaf, the Lashon Yachid is going to have to feed 100 people. I'm going to give out one loaf for 100 people? Vayomer, and he said, Tein lam v'yachelu, kichai amar Hashem, achol v'hoiser. Give it to the people, and they'll eat it, because this is what Hashem said. Let them eat, v'hoiser, and not only will they eat, they're going to leave over too. There's going to be so much they'll be able to leave over. Vayitim lifneyem, v'yachlu, v'yasiru, k'dvar Hashem. And that was the nace. They ate it, 100 people ate one loaf, and there was leftovers. This is one of the Mekairis in Chazal, that when a person benches, he's supposed to leave over some a piece of challah or some crumbs on the table. What?
Sometimes you don't
If there is, you know, if there is.
Because you can't have
broth from
nothing, what?
Well, that's where it comes from. The makar is from the spasa. Chalva iser. You're not supposed to. Used to do that, you're not supposed to. If it's on the table, so then you leave it there. You ate it all up, Or you leave over a drop, a crumb.
Well, then you clear it anyway.
Why'd you clear it? Something in a chat, a different story. I don't remember. Last year we talked about this. I don't remember what it is. It says you're not supposed to be in your bag because of what ledges are. Allah says, could be it says if there's not, it's some mafarshim hold that if there's already pieces on the table, you shouldn't bring a whole loaf. But could be if there's nothing on the table, you're allowed to bring. I don't remember. I have to look it up. Okay, so that's what he said. You'll be able to eat and have leftovers. And that's exactly what happened. Now, it's interesting. In the Pasuk Shat here, Bikurim doesn't mean Bikurim of the Torah. It means the first fruits. Like we said, it means Akrim Mincha Bikurim. It's the first fruits, the first harvest. But the Gemara in the Sefta Ksubis doesn't. So it seems to be bothered. Why do you have to say the word Bikurim? The Navi used the word Bikurim. The Gemara asks, was Elisha a Navi? Was Elisha a Kayin? I'll backtrack. The Gemara asks, did Elisha eichel bikurim? Did Elisha eat bikurim? The Gemara is taking very seriously the bikurim here. Elisha ate bikurim? Now there's a machlokes here, what the Gemara's question is. Rashi says, Elisha wasn't a kayan. How could he eat bikurim? And Rashi brings rais and divrayamim, you see, Elisha was not a kayan. But Taisva says, no, who cares if Elisha's a kayan or not? Where do you have to eat Bikurim? Yerushalayim. Was he in Yerushalayim? He was in Gilgal. So Taisva says, Gemara is asking, how could Elisha eat Bikurim? Who cares who he is? He's in the wrong place. Because truthfully, who cares if Elisha's not a kayan? There were 2,000 Nevi'im here. It assumes there's a couple of Kehanim amongst the 2,000 Nevi'im, right? So even if Elisha doesn't eat the Bikurim, and he didn't eat it really here, he gave it to the Talmidim, someone could eat them. But if the question is, you're not in Yerushalayim, it makes no difference if you're the biggest Kayan in the world. If you're not in Yerushalayim, ask the Gemara, how do you eat it? So the Gemara says that we learn from here the Kalamevi Dair in the Talmud Chacham, anyone who brings a present to the Talmud Chacham, Kilo Mevi Bikurim, is as if he brings Bikurim. Doesn't mean when it says here Bikurim is really Bikurim, rather bringing presents to Talmud Chachamim are like you bring Bikurim. Pashup Shat is because the idea of Bikurim is Akara Satayv. My Rashi over there says, I'm not a Kafi Tayv. If a person understands what Talmidei Chachamim do for a dar, the mechaper on a dar, the mespalel on a dar, whatever they do for the dar, they bring a shefa parnas, a shefa bracha. They understand what Talmidei Chachamim do for the dar, and they bring them the present al takaras atayiv. It's the same idea, the same inyan of bikurim. Bikurim is akaras atayiv for what the shefa Hashem gave, and giving the Talmud Chacham a present, understanding who a Talmud Chacham is in Klal Yisrael, is also an inyan of Akaras HaTayiv. And if you really want to take it to the next level, the Mesillas Yesharim, and all the way at the end over there in Shar Kedusha, where he talks about big, big tzaddikim, that they have no hanos and Olam Hazeh, and everything that they do in Olam Hazeh is really a very holy and lofty thing. So he says over there that achilas tzaddikim is like achilas mizbeach. It's not a gashmius pu'ula of eating, it's like the Mizbeach consuming it. The Mizbeach consumes animals and fats and all these things, life and ruchni, so too a Talmud Chacham, when he eats or drinks, says also, anyone who brings wine to Talmud Chacham, like he brought Nesachim. So if you want to take it to that level, so kilu may be bikurim because you're bringing a carbon to the mizbeach, bringing food to tamachakam, and him eating that is the same exact thing as bringing it on the mizbeach. Not that you brought bikurim on the mizbeach, bikurim went to the kayanim, but it's the same idea of bringing a carbon. Okay. Fine. So that is the end of Parak Daled. We move on to Parak Hey. As we continue, Rashi continues talking. Nisim Shanasai De Elisha Misad Vailach. We continue with the Nisim that Elisha is doing. The Naaman Sar Tziva Melech Aram. Naaman, the general of the king of Aram, Hayaish Gadol Lifnei Adayno. He was a very big person in front of his master, the king of Aram. When a suf on him, Rashi says people used to come and be mechabit him. Why? Why was he such a chash of a person in front of his master? Why do people come and be mechabit him? Kivaynasan Hashem Chual Aram. Because through him, Hashem gave a salvation to Aram. What was the salvation they brought to Aram? So we mentioned this way back. And that is, according to this Chazal, he was the one who pulled the bow and shot the arrow that killed Achav. Right? But Achav, we learned that someone, a man, pulled back his bow and shot the arrow, and it went into Achav. So according to one shot, it was Naaman. And that's what the pasuk means here. Rashi says, "Umashach b'keshes b'tumai." He didn't aim for him. Varag is Achav, and he ended up killing Achav. Just shooting, not necessarily towards Achav himself. So he was the one who shot him, and because through him, Aram won that war. So therefore, he became a very big hero. But Ishai Giber Chayil, he was a warrior. But he had one problem, Mitzaira. He was a Mitzaira. Now, before we get to that, the Radak seems to be bothered over here. Kivaynasan Hashem Chual Aram. If it just means that he won the war, what's this? Nasan Hashem Chual Aram. Aram won the war because he killed Achav. Through him, Hashem gave a Chual Aram. Well, obviously Hashem gave the Chual Aram, but why does the pasuk stress this? The Radak, he doesn't say this, he doesn't say the question, but it's obvious he seems to be bothered by that. He brings the Medrash. And the Medrash says, B'shosha gamloi chesedim Yaakov. Aram. Who lived in Aram? Lavan and Yaakov when he came there, and the people of Aram did gmilas chasadim with Yaakov Avinu. What they do? It says vayasif Lavan is kolad sheyamoka and vayas mishta. They were part of his chasana and his shavu brachas
with Yaakov.
So they did gmilas chasadim with Yaakov Avinu. Amar lema kadosh baruch hu gemaltam chasadim Yaakov. You did Gmilas Chasadim, you have to get a reward. And the Etein Tzcharkam Livneichem, I'm going to give your children your reward. Why? B'shvil shelo yiyaschar l'rishayim ba'olam haba. Hashem likes to give reward to Rishayim in Olam Hazeh, so He doesn't have to give them reward in Olam Haba. Shenemar ki v'ynasan Hashem Chual Aram. So this Chual Aram was Nasan Hashem, this was the schar. The winning of that war was the schar of the Gmil Chasadim that they did to Yaakov Avinu, so they shouldn't get paid in Olam Haba. This is totally a side issue, but I want to bring up this idea. I've heard many times, and I heard it again last week from Rebbe, a Zayar, an unbelievable Zayar, that says that one of the people in the times of the Zayar came to one of the Tanoim, the Chachmei HaZayar, and he says, I want to tell you a story that happened to me. He says, I have a certain machla, a certain sickness, and it's very painful, and I I'm looking always for ways to get a refuah. And I noticed that there's a lot of guys that have the same machla. And they somehow get a refuah. So, he says, Rebbe, I don't believe in Avodah Zarah. But I saw that every time they have this machla, or whoever has it, goes to this base Avodah Zarah, and they sleep there, and the next morning they wake up all healthy. So I don't believe in Avodah Zarah, but I'd like to know what goes on over there. So I decided to go there to see what's doing. So I walked in there, he says, and everyone came there at night. Tons, hundreds of goyim, and they're all lying there on the floor, and they're in pain. They all go to sleep. And in the middle of the night, he says, I don't know if he says he couldn't sleep or he wasn't sleeping. In the middle of the night, as I'm laying amongst all these goyim, I saw Satan Echad. I saw one of the satans. What does that mean? One of the malachim. And I see he's going around to every guy, and he has a little jar, a little liquid or something in it, and he dips in his finger or something, dips into it, and he puts it on to each and every guy. And I watch as he puts it on to the guy. See, the guy beforehand is in pain, and he's writhing in pain, and he's moving around, and he sees in the makla, and the minute he puts it on, he's healed. As he came to me, he takes one look at me, and he skips me. He goes to the next one. So he says, Karasi, why I called to him. So he said, Reb Sutton, you know, what about me? She skips me. So he looked at him and he said, You I don't do this for. Said, Psapasa, Kilay Chelik Yaakov, or something like that. He said that the Rabbeinu Shalaylam does this only for Gayim. He's merape, he lets me do this for Gayim, so they should be mekabel all of their schar in Olam Hazeh, and he should have nothing left for Olam Haba. A Jew? That I have no right for. I have no right to do that, because the Rebbeinu Shalom doesn't want that to happen. And he went, and he was merape all of them. And he came, this Jew came out to tell this Tana, and it's in the Zayir Chadash, in the Zayir, that this is what the Satan told him. That the Rebbeinu Shalom, they go there and they think it's Bir Avodah Zarah that's being merafe them. Meanwhile, it's one of Hashem's malachim. But why is he allowing it to happen? So that they're mekabel all of their schar for anything they ever did with this refuah on Olam Hazeh, kedei lahavidei l'Olam Haba, that Olam Haba Hashem doesn't have to give them anything. And Rebbe Avdol always says, and can you imagine, 100 goyim wake up in the morning with this refuah, and they all get on the phone to their aunts, uncles, grandparents, right? And the next day there's 500 guys. Imagine thousands and thousands of guys as the Rosh Hashanah made it. It just happens by like domino effect that he wants them to get their schar. They all keep on inviting themselves in there and they get all their schar. And the Tan over there in the Zayar says that if not for this person, we never would have known how far it is the Rebbeinu Shel Olam goes in order to pay back the Rishayim by Lamazet, pay back the Goyim by Lamazet. So that's the idea also here, the Radak is saying that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam wants to pay back Schar, the Rishayim by Lamazet, in order that he doesn't have to give them Schar by Lamazet. Okay. So that is the Radak is saying why it's Nosan Hashem Chuval Arav. Now, so Naaman here was a Metzaira. We know there's a lot of Averis that Tzaraas come for. The Gemara says 7 Averis, the Midrashim say more Averis. One of the Averis is Gaiva. So the Kli Yakar says, if you look at this Pasuk is very, very descriptive about Naaman's position. Who cares? Who cares who he was? He was a general, finished. He was a general who was a Metzaira. No. He was the Ish Gadol Lifnei Adainam. In other words, even in front of the king, he was a chash of a person. Unasufanim, and the entire nation, he was a big hero. Voyishi Agaya Gibra Chayil, he was a mighty warrior. And he was a Metzaira. What do we need to know this for? So says the Kli Yakar, the Pasuk is teaching us that the reason for his tzaras was his gaiva. And that's why the Pasuk keeps on stressing it. And then we'll see if the Kli Yakar is going to keep this theme through the Tahara of Naaman, showing how this keeps on cropping its head up here, that the issue was Gaiva. And the Medrash really in Bamidbar, when it lists off different things that Mitzaras comes from, says one of them is Gaiva, and brings our Pasuk as a proof that's what Mitzaras comes from. So you see the Medrash also learned that's the child in the Pasuk. Okay. See, it was a Mitzaira. Now the Malbim just points out, Gibor Chayel Mitzaira, he says, why did the Pasuk put it together? He was a Gibor Chayel who was a Mitzaira. So he says, because don't think that the Tzaras was from a sickness. As if he was a Shvach, a weak person, and he succumbed to the sickness of Mitzaras. No, he was a Gibor Chayel. He was a strong person. He was a warrior. He wasn't a sickly person. But Oifen says in Malbim that his Tzaras was not tivius. It wasn't a natural sickness because there was something wrong with him that brought it on. Rak Oinshi. It was a punishment. So he's learning it into the Pasuk. V'isha Yegibra Chayel. Don't think this was a natural thing. He was a Gibra Chayel. He was a strong, mighty warrior. He didn't have anything wrong with him that you bring him Tzaras in a normal Oifen. Rather, it came because of a punishment. The Malbim quotes a different Medrash to say what the punishment was for, and we'll see in a moment, but at least we see here with the Indian of a punishment. V'aram yotzu gedudim. Now, Aram went out to fight a war. V'ayishvu married Yisrael narikatana, and they captured from Eretz Yisrael a young girl. There's older Na'arais, and there's younger Na'arais. So Na'ara Ketan, although it sounds like a double lashon, in the Pashup Shad it means a younger girl. Chazal and Rashi brings it and says, no, she was a Ketana from the city called Na'arain. There was a city called Na'arain. If you're from that city, you're called a Na'ara, someone from the city of Na'arain. So she was a Ketana, a young girl from the city called Na'arain. So they captured her, and she was a maidservant in front of the wife of Naaman. She used to serve her. The Malbim says that the punishment was for this girl. When they captured her and they took her as a maidservant, so, and since Naaman's the general, he is responsible for all these types of things, so that's, the Einish came for this. That's a chazal that he brings. Yeah. He didn't personally take her, but since he was the Gibor Chayel, and he was the general, so everything goes really back to him. Batimer El Gevirta. So she said to her master, she said to the wife of Naaman, Acheli Adoini. The lashon of a bakasha. Lifnei Hanavi Asher B'Shaimrei. Acheli Adoini Lifnei Hanavi. Acheli is like the lashon of Vayichal Moshe. Let my master beg or daven or beseech in front of the Navi in Shaimrei. Here he has the Saras. It's painful. So I have an eitzah for him. I'm Jewish, and you captured me from there, and we have a Navi in Shimrein. So why doesn't Naaman go there? Ask the Navi, Acheli Adayinu Lifnei Navi, let my master beseech the Navi in Shimrein. Oh, it's Yasef B'Saim in Sarata, and the Navi will heal him from his Saras. Yasef is the Lashon of healing. Rashi in Pasuk Vav says, the lashon of healing a mitzayra is asifa, because a mitzayra, when he has his saras, he's outside of the machane and everyone has to stay away from him. So when you heal him, you bring him back in, you gather him back in, vasafta, you bring him back in. Now even though Naaman was a guy, and he didn't have the dine tzaras, but the lashon taharas tzaras is called asifa based on the halachas of tzaras of a Jew. That's why she said, "Oz yes, if I say, so he'll heal him." The lashon of healing is used as gathering in, because by a Jewish mitzvah, when he gets healed, he gets gathered in, he gets brought back into the machane. Now the Mepharshim that we said before, the Kliyakar and others, that they said that the, that's an Abar Benel also, that the Einish was for Gaiva, so they point out that Acheli Adaini, the Lashon of Aichal is not just a Lashon of asking, it's a Lashon of extreme Hachna'ah. And she was saying to him that if you want to cure yourself of your Tzaras, it comes from Gaiva. So the first thing is, Acheli Adaini Livnei Anav Yashir B'Shayim. You have to machnia yourself. Oz! What's the oz? And then, if you do it, and you're machnia yourself, so then, Yasef Eisayim Yitzaratai, then the Navi will be able to metar you, because once you cure yourself of the cause, which is the Gaiva, so oz, then, you'll be able to be healed from the Tzaras. The Acheli Adaini is a lashon of extreme machna.
That through
Naaman
going in front of Elisha
and being machni himself. What? That'll be achna.
Not that he
had to machni
himself before
the man. Well, it's all, that was it. The whole being machni yourself, and at the end coming to the Navi with the achna, not a fake achna, a real achna, then he'll be able to heal you. So that's what she told. That's what she told her master. Vayava vayage la adayin of leimar. Kazayis v'chazayis dibra hanara, Hashem Eretz Yisrael. So, they went and they told, no, I'm sorry. That's what she told Eishes Naaman, and Eishes Naaman went and told Naaman. So now, Naaman doesn't go to Eretz Yisrael, to the Navi, by himself, without asking anyone. He's only the general. He has to go ask the king. So Vayava, he came, meaning Naaman went, Vayage la'adayin of Leimer, and he went to the Melech Aram, and he told him, Kazayis v'kazayis dibra nara shem eretz Yisrael. This is what the Nara said. So, it's worth a try, let me go. Vayomer Melech Aram, so Melech Aram told him, Lech, go, boy, come. Vayashlucha sefer al Melech Yisrael, and I'll send you with a letter to the Melech Yisrael. What's the Lech and the boy? So, the Kliyakar says, Pashup Shad is, the king couldn't afford to lose this general. So he told him, Lech, go, but boy, make sure you come back. Don't get taken in over there by the Jews. Don't like the scenery, or the neighborhood, or decide to become Jewish. You're very important, they can't lose you. So Lech, go, but boy, make sure you're going to come back. Ve'eshlecha sefer al Melech Yisrael, and I will send with you a letter to Melech Yisrael. Vayelech ve'ikach bi. I'm sorry. So one second. So sefer al Melech Yisrael. Why is he sending a letter? So the Malbim says because the Melech Aram thought that the Navi will not be able to say no if the Melech Yisrael orders him to do it. So he figured, why go straight to the Navi? Maybe he'll answer, maybe he won't. I'll send a letter to the Melech Yisrael that this is what we want done. The Melech Yisrael will order the Navi to do it. Melech Aram did not know the internal politics between Yehoram Melech Achav, Yehoram Ben Achav Melech Yisrael and Elisha, that they had absolutely no shaykes to each other, and Elisha could care less what he was told to do. He didn't know about it. They just figured if there's a Navi and there's a Melech, he'll listen to him. So Vayelech Vayikach Biyah, he went and he took in his hand Esther Kikrei Kesef, 10 pieces of silver, v'sheishes alafim zov, 6,000 golden coins. V'etzer chalifas v'gadim, and 10 changes of clothing. This was a present to bring, besides for the letters to bring to the melech, there was also a present to bring to the Navi. Okay, yeah.
Who says, where is
Malchus Yisrael coming from? It says, from Malchus Yisrael.
But I thought we were talking about Malach Haram.
Right, Malach Haram said, I'm going to send with you, Naaman, a letter to Malach Yisrael that he should order Elisha the Navi to heal you.
Okay.
Why? She goes straight to the Navi. He says, the Navi will listen to you. Go, I'll send you a letter of introduction to the Malach Yisrael, and he'll order the Navi to do it. And again, he didn't realize what... that they have no shaykhs to each other. We will continue next time.